In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Biggs time.
Biggs
with Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire Aturo, aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you got the story, buddy. You're the one there that's combing over the injury list. You know that the Bears came out of that game fairly healthy. There were only two guys on the injury list, and they were already there. Will that thing grow as the week goes on? Do you expect another turned ankle or someone having a hangnail? What will happen to the injury list?
Well, I think it'll be difficult to tell because I'm expecting primarily, you know, walkthroughs this week to get from an overtime game on Sunday to, as you guys said, the early kickoff on Thursday. So you're going to be talking about estimations on the practice report. Ryan Bates would have been limited had they held a practice as he returns from concussion protocol. That was the estimation that was given out yesterday afternoon. So all things considered, when you're talking about the final week of November here, this is a roster that's in pretty good health. Like, they haven't had an Aiden Hutchinson injury this year. Okay. The Bears haven't. The Lions, the team they're facing, has. And the Lions have got some injuries they're dealing with. Amon-Ra St. Brown is banged up. The left tackle, Taylor Decker, I think there's probably some questions about. So, Detroit's dealing with some current injuries. I would assume coming out of that game in Indianapolis this past week.
All right, let's dive quickly into the weeds, Brad. How satisfied were you with the explanation for why the Bears essentially had the same field goal block unit or the offensive line? Yeah, to that they did a week before when it did get blocked. And how would you explain the changes that came after it had the second block in two successive games?
Yeah, I mean, you've only got so many guys on your game day roster that are even going to be qualified to be out there for that. And that's the same problem. Yeah, that's an issue, right? Like, you know, Pat Manley could tell you that they haven't been tight enough previously in the season when they've had guys that have been pushed back some. And it was, I think, a combination of a couple factors and probably some bad luck involved that led to them having kicks blocked in consecutive weeks. But that's an issue. Like, it's leverage, right? I mean, you got to have leverage. If you don't have leverage, you're going to struggle to stand your ground, and that's going to be a problem. And you know, fortunately, Cairo Santos was able to make the 48-yarder on the final play of regulation to force overtime, but that's got to be better. it's got to be better and that Eberflus is going to be involved. You know, we'll see. It's just like they can't put out the fires fast enough to stop other ones from spreading up there right now, if that makes sense. Like they're over there trying to put that fire out and you turn around and there's one, you know, behind them. That's the problem they're dealing with.
So, you know, we had an interesting conversation this morning where we were talking about who's been the best player on this team, be it offensively or defensively. And it's a difficult question because, you know, you think Montez Sweat is the best player on the defense. Oh, no, maybe it's Jalen Johnson. Well, neither guy. Jalen got called, you know, he had the slip a couple weeks ago. He got called for two pass interference penalties. He explained on the one, he just grabbed the guy's jersey for a second. Is that called pass interference? He didn't feel that it was it hindered his path to the ball. But, you know, it was a big play. And so he's kind of off the boil. Listen, the whole team is off the boil when you lose five straight games. But we were struggling to figure out who you would consider a Pro Bowler on this team right now. And I think they've got talent. I don't know that most of the players on the team haven't struggled. The punter looks pretty good. You could say the kicker had looked good, although, you know, three blocked field goals in a year is going to give you a little hesitation.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick one where I would say this guy's Pro Bowl worthy, it would be Jalen. And that's understanding that he fell down recently against Green Bay and then had the two calls. The one, I think, was clear pass interference against Minnesota. The other looked marginal at best to me, maybe ticky-tack, the kind of thing that doesn't warrant a flag in the league. But, you know, you look at his body of work over the course of the entire season to this point, and he's been their best player. I think it's pretty easy to say that. Now, recency bias is real, and he'd like to have a couple of those plays back, no question about it. But if you're talking about through this point in the season where they've played 11 ball games, he's been their best football player.
Brad, what do you make of this controversy, mini controversy about the boundary cam and the lack of boundary cams in NFL stadiums prevents them from using it on coaches' challenges? And Mike Pereira got involved, and I think a lot of people will talk about it later, and Pereira had some interesting things to say, but just wonder what your opinion was about the use of boundary cam and the unsuccessful use of challenges by Matt Eberflus this year.
Well, those are two totally different issues. With boundary cam, the NFL's maybe not turning enough of a profit. I don't because that's technology that's going to cost a lot of money. So why that's not in place, you know, I mean, you could put a chip in the football too, couldn't you? Right? I mean, there's probably a lot of things that they could do. I don't know that Addison was out of bounds. I'm not sure why people are up in arms about that. In terms of Matt Eberflus's challenges, he's, I believe, 2-for-9 overall. Mm-hmm. I think he's 0-for-3 this year. 2-for-9 is below league average. I think league average, I wrote about it a while back, I think league average is in the 30, high 30s maybe in terms of getting things overturned. So we are looking at a small sample size. What I think is they tend to look at plays sometimes that they view as like, this is a huge critical play in the game. It's worth taking a shot here, right? And so it's almost like they're doing a little wish casting there. Hey, maybe this was questionable because we just got hit for a 68-yard play by Jordan Addison or whatever the case is. And, they just haven't They haven't gotten any in a while, but that's way down the list of things that you're concerned about with Matt Eberflus, because if he went out there and went 2 for 3 in his next 3 challenges, I think his overall career numbers would be right around league average.
I don't really care about the challenge thing. I think there's different people who have different ideas about it. Lovey always said that you challenged any big play that was you thought was a game-turning play. I think Eberflus said you challenge explosive plays. Whatever way you want to look at it, if you feel like a play is very important and it's going to impact the game, take another look
at it. Right, and they hit him for a 68-yarder right out of the tunnel. First play of the third quarter. And the guy was walking the tightrope down the sideline, but those pylon cams, those things have got to be pretty expensive, guys.
They're beautiful.
They can afford them.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Everyone get a pylon cam because it'll help you. If you have a pylon cam, use it. All right? I just don't get it. As you say, you know, the league, we joke around about it, but if you have the technology, make it the best technology you can get. How is this?
Right, you'd have to have it in every venue. It would have to be in every state. You know, everything's got to be uniform. I don't. Maybe they'd have to hire some more replay officials. I have no idea. Eventually, it'll get there. And the Bears didn't lose the game on Sunday because they were lacking pylon cams, fortunately.
Do you think that Matt Eberflus has considered or discussed allowing Eric Washington to call defenses now that his defense has come back to the pack a little bit more and been disappointing of late?
I don't think so. If Matt Eberflus is going to go down this season, I think he's going to go down doing it the way he wants to, right? And doing it in a manner in which he thinks gives the team the best opportunity for success. And they did some things really well in that game defensively. We talked about it, I think, Monday morning in terms of holding Justin Jefferson in check. They got some critical red zone stops, referencing the first series of the third quarter there after the explosive play to Jordan Addison down the sideline without the pylon cams, and then forcing Romo to kick the field goal very late in the fourth quarter there. They were also in the red zone, a short field goal there. If that's not a field goal attempt there, there's no 11-point rally in 20-some-odd seconds for the Bears to get into overtime. It's over. So I don't think he would hand it over to Washington at this point, no.
Okay, so it's a short week. You're on the road for the first time with the new offensive coordinator. You're playing a team that's doing very well. I saw yesterday, you know, we all know Ben Johnson and how he's kind of a darling for a future head coaching job. Would Aaron Glenn be considered another guy that might be considered? I think they're writing that in Detroit these days. I heard the head coach, Dan Campbell, talk about it yesterday. They just got a lot of good things going for them. How do you win this game? What is the pathway to victory for a team that's heading on the road and has lost 5 in a row and is a 10.5-point dog?
Yeah, the pathway to victory is that the Detroit Lions have been terrible on Thanksgiving of late. The Lions have lost 7 consecutive games on Thanksgiving Day. So now, for a decent amount of that stretch over the past 7 years, they've been a poor and dysfunctional football organization. Of late, they've had their stuff together, and they've still lost the last 2 years there anyway. Path to victory would have to involve plus two or better on the turnover margin, right? I mean, they would have to involve that, would have to be a clear advantage in special teams in terms of average starting field position, maybe Torrey Taylor forcing the Lions to start inside their 10-yard line on a couple of drives. They would have to handle the crowd noise better than they have this season in terms of the offensive line, and have more explosive plays than they did this past week against Minnesota, which I thought they had a fair amount. They've made an improvement in that area. I mean, they'd have to be hitting across the board. It's been a long time, guys, since the Bears have been a double-digit underdog in a game and won outright, sprung the big upset. Last time they actually pulled that out, and I was looking this up the other day, was the 2008 season opener at Indianapolis. They were a 10-point underdog to the Colts. I believe that's when Peyton Manning was returning from neck surgery, I think. He had like an ill-fitted suit on.
You remember his suit?
Yeah, I just remember, like, you saw him on TV, and it was like, whoa, that doesn't look great, because he'd been in rehab, and it was Matt Forte's debut game, right? And the Bears actually blew the Colts out down there.
I remember that well.
In Indianapolis. Yeah. But, yeah, otherwise, when they've been a big underdog, when they've been a big underdog, they've struggled mightily.
He's talking about his Jimmy Stewart thing. He just always looks like Jimmy Stewart.
I'm impressed he remembered the suit. That's why Bigsy's Bigsy. All right, Brad, we know how much you like stadium project stories. I'm just curious, seriously, what your reaction was to yesterday's big news, which I think is significant, that there's now an agreement between the Bears and Arlington Heights. There no longer is the tax hurdle to clear. And now, if they wanted to, conceivably, they could move forward and have shovels in the dirt, as they say, sooner rather than later, and avoid a lot of the political mess that awaits them and the non-starter status of the project in Chicago. What do you think happens next?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Perhaps in the near future, we learn that one of the very most beautiful pieces of land in the entire world is in Arlington Heights, after all. Who knew? They don't have any traction in the city right now, and I don't see how the South Lot one will get going at all. There just seem to be way too many obstacles in place for that right now. It's certainly for that to get going in the next 13 months, right, when they talk about having the project rolling at some point in the 2025 calendar year. That seems highly unrealistic to me. They've never completely walked away from Arlington Heights. They've just kind of had that sit there in limbo, maybe been working on it a little bit on the side the entire time. We'll have to see. I don't know. That's going to involve an awful lot of public money too, unless something changes dramatically. And I don't think they're going to get that from the state, but guys, it's difficult enough to stay on top of football that I have no interest in trying to stay on top of politics.
So let's stay on top of football. So the Bears get the field goal blocked, and that ends their chances against Green Bay. And then they come back, and they have another field goal blocked. And then it looked like they brought in Darnell Wright. It looked like they made a couple of changes the next time out, but Wright was then added to the mix. Why was he not in the mix? Why didn't they change something after the blocked field goal? Why did they come back with the same crew? And what the hell's going on with the field goals? That's three this year.
Yeah. If you have one blocked field goal, maybe you're not going to make wholesale changes. You're going to look at it and you're say, okay, here was our problem spot. Here's what we didn't do well enough. Here's what we need to collectively across the board be better at. And then when you have another another block, and it was through a different part of the line, right? They went a gap against Green Bay. That's what the Packers did, and I believe the Vikings hit the C gap there after trying to show that they're coming through where the A gap. Okay. Yeah, we're going to try the same alley, and then no, they're actually in another area. So that's got to be fixed. It's just you can't have that. You have one, and it's a problem. You have one in consecutive weeks, and you're not doing your due diligence. And I don't consider the one they had against Jacksonville when they were in London, because they're operating with Cole Kmet as the long snapper. You're just trying to get the darn thing back there, and it was a particularly high snap. So they shouldn't be judged off of that one. But the 2 and 2 weeks, or yeah, 2 and 2 weeks, no bueno.
Short week, Brad, what's your pick for the Lions game?
He has to make it tomorrow, doesn't he?
Oh, wow. You guys are going to squeeze me this early in the week, huh?
Are you emotionally prepared for that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm picking the Lions. I don't have an I'm picking the Lions, and it might be more than two touchdowns. We got to look at these Lions injuries, though.
Yeah,
seriously.
Montgomery's on the list, but they said he's going to play.
If you can remember Peyton Manning's suit in 2008, Decker, you can make a pick 2 days early.
Dave, you don't want to rush into things like that. It's hard enough picking these damn games as it is.
Okay.
But I can say right now with a certain degree of confidence that Detroit will win the game, and the Bears will have their sixth consecutive loss.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Thanks, Brad. We appreciate it.
Have a great day, guys.
You can't rush an artist.
Look, I'm not rushing anything. He's usually, we're going according to the plan. We got a schedule. We got to stick to it.
All right, and we got to get back on schedule. We're going to take a quick timeout. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
I feel like that's what drives the frustration the most. Because, I mean, I would say in 2022, we had a terrible roster. So, I mean, we didn't just have a whole bunch of guys that had made a name for themselves, that proved themselves. I mean, honestly, that was probably the time where it's like, okay, we're not really built to win right now. But I feel like the team that we have, roster that we have right now, we're built to win right now. And I don't think it's something where it's, okay, we got to come in and get the right guys in the build. I mean, for the most part, as far as the locker room goes, we have the right guys, and we have enough to be able to win right now and to be a playoff team. Again, we just haven't put it all together top to bottom as far as being able to execute, be put in the right positions, just really all of it. I feel like we all got to do a better job.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Man, that's Jalen Johnson. And I tell you what, David, I think what he's articulating there is the way that most Bear fans felt coming into this season, that you had watched this team develop, improve. Now, they make the big trade. The draft picks come in. You get the quarterback. You get the wide receiver. It was win time. You had that feeling. Hard Knocks is after watching the Giants on Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks are
disaster.
Not. Hard Knocks are not.
Bears on Hard Knocks.
You're going to have expectations.
But the expectations of this year, and he's right, it was win time, and you felt like the roster had improved and it was going to be significantly better.
The roster was going to be hard to make. That was from Ryan Poles.
And that is why this losing streak, which Big Z told us is going to grow to 6 on Thursday, 6 in a row. It's just a kick to the shins.
Jalen Johnson sounds defeated. He sounds like
can't believe it.
A cornerback that has lost his swagger a little bit.
Incredulous.
Yeah, a little bit incredulous. He is also fed up, and there's a lot of fatigue setting in, emotional fatigue, mental fatigue. He's just tired of going through the same thing year after year. And it's not been he's not done much winning since he got here. And he's been the guy that took a step forward last year, was rewarded for that. This season, he's had a pretty good year, but I think the last 2 weeks have been tough. Last 2 weeks, he's been involved in some high-profile big plays. The 60-yarder to, you know, Christian Watson against the Packers, where he guessed wrong and slipped. And then two pass interference penalties against the Vikings, which he can explain away whatever he wants to explain away, but they were penalties. And so now he is the guy that had a lot of expectations himself individually, facing the fact that he's not had a great couple weeks once they got into the division.
His reputation has grown, but it hasn't grown to the point where he's going to get a call over Justin Jefferson. If you're close to a PI, and I thought the first one, the grabbing,
the first
of the
one
shirt,
was pretty clear.
That was a very obvious.
Whether that was Justin Jefferson or whoever,
I don't know that the safety got the pick. Looked like he may have lost the ball on the way down. I'm just saying.
Right.
That was a potential.
The second one was maybe more of a judgment call.
Right. And
I'll give you that.
But he's not going to get the nod over the other player. And he was mad earlier in the year when he wasn't on the top 100 list.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, nothing has gone right. There are very, you know, Bigsy says he's the best football player on the team. And I really like him. I think he's a good guy. I wonder what's going on with the Bears secondary. We know Brisker with the concussion, that's damaged them. But something's going on with Tyreek Stevenson.
Well, Tyreek Stevenson is an interesting example of what can happen when a player loses confidence or is affected by outside factors. And I really believe that with Tyreek Stevenson, what you saw happen was his blunder against the Commanders. He has allowed that to affect the rest of his season. Now, you could say that the coaches intervened and he had been disciplined and some of those things, but you know what? Sometimes when you have discipline or coaches react to a situation that reflects a lack of discipline, which that play certainly did,
yes,
it's up to the player to understand what's happening here. It's up to the player to say, well, you know what? I am a professional. They're treating me like one, and I can be better. And I'm going to use this as the impetus to change my season and to go and to learn from the experience and go up and be in a positive direction. What Tyreek Stevenson has done is just the opposite.
Yeah.
He has allowed outside noise to kind of drown out any kind of confidence that he might have, and he's lost. Now he's playing 25 snaps a game.
That's crazy.
Against the Vikings. Terrell Smith has passed him.
Yes.
Because they can't trust Tyreek Stevenson.
Well, first of all, that's bad on many different levels.
If you have a cornerback who doesn't believe in himself or has shattered confidence, you have a vulnerable cornerback.
But David, I mean, you know, it's great to have swagger, but not when they're running the final play of the game and your back is turned as you're yelling at someone in the crowd. I'm just saying, you have to discipline that. Mm-hmm. You have to talk to him and you have to do something about it. You can't let that go. And then to be as damaged by it as he has been since it happened, that's crazy too. That is, there are different ways to react to things in your life. And I mean, he's just taking on water as a result of it.
Well, they're not getting much out of him.
Nothing.
So he's a second round draft pick that right now,
holy cow,
started the season as a very much on the plus side. And now you have a question mark next to his name. You just don't know what he's capable of doing. And I think that he's a guy that over these remaining six games has to mount some sort of career comeback, because I think that he does feel like he's lost. These last six games, while they mean nothing in the standings because the Bears are kind of lost and headed in the wrong direction, for individuals, they could potentially mean a lot in terms of whether or not they come back and be part of the solution, whether or not they are guys that you feel like, you know, are you can win with.
Listen, there's a lot of young players. He's a young player. We're talking about guys that you believe you're building with, mm-hmm, moving forward with. If you're coming out of a season and you've got guys you now think are kind of damaged and we might need to get more help there, or we need, that is a terrible result. And that's why these games matter as much as anything. You want to come out of the season with the quarterback intact, moving forward, feeling confident. That's how you get better in the NFL. That position is the number one position. That's the most important thing. But you got a lot of young guys, and you want them. You want Jervon Dexter to feel like he's improving, he's established, and now he's ready to take another step. You want Zach Pickens to feel like, I am an NFL player, I belong here, I got to be better. You want Austin Booker to feel like, you know, I can stop the run, I can make a play, and I'm great when it comes time to go after the quarterback. I'm just saying, these are just a few of the young guys. You've got a lot of young talent, and it's all about getting them better and improving.
You've
got to
put stuff on tape because you don't know what the next coaching staff might be looking for. You don't know what scheme you might be playing in. And those are just the hard realities of what you're facing if you're a Bears offensive or defensive player. But specifically talking about the defense, there are a lot of guys who need to change the course of their seasons because it has been a disappointing turn for the Bears. It's not just because Andrew Billings is out either.
Yes.
That is certainly an easy crutch to lean on.
Yeah,
but these guys, are better.
Who's more valuable to their team? Hutchinson or Billings, right?
Yeah, Hutchinson.
He
was a defensive player of the year candidate when he went down. And he was a guy that is a game wrecker. Andrew Billings is a very solid player in the middle of that defense, but the Lions without Aiden Hutchinson, that's going to be more noticeable of a loss than the Bears without Andrew Billings.
They allowed 6 points last week.
Yeah.
And they haven't given up a touchdown.
Your guy Aaron Glenn, you keep trying to get hired. He's doing a good job pushing the right buttons for that defense.
Was I pushing Aaron Glenn to get
him? You've asked about that him twice today.
I asked you about it, and I asked Biggs about it.
That's twice.
I happen to have read a lot about him, and I listened to what the head coach had to say yesterday. I listened to all the Detroit stuff. I got bored by the Eberflus news conference. No, I listened to that too. I'm just saying, I think this is a shortened week, and we got to be looking at different angles of this game.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is the idea that, is Ben Johnson a candidate for the Bears job? Is this a guy that people think could be a head coach in the NFL?
Well,
and we don't know how he is in front of the room. I don't know. I've heard the same things that we've talked about, that's not the guy, and that's fine.
But also,
it is a job interview for everyone.
It is a job interview. I think that's a fair way to look at it. It's the Lions coordinators are going to be hot candidates because the Lions are going to be a team that we're going to see a lot of in January.
Maybe so, the NFC representative in the Super
Bowl. Likely to be, but who knows with the Eagles playing well lately. I think with Ben Johnson, you got to remember this, and Dustin asked a good question. The report from Adam Schefter earlier about a month ago was that he would be reluctant to look at the Bears because of the dysfunction that exists in the building, or that's the perception. That's something that's difficult to get past. If you're a young head coach, and do you want to come to a place, even with the Chicago market, even with the Bears tradition, even with Caleb Williams, do you want to take on the job that has not been good for guys who come here for the first time to be a head coach? It's not been kind to first-time head coaches.
Coach Wannstedt is in the building, and we're going to bring him in. We can ask him. He took the Bears job. He had interviewed with the Giants, but maybe he didn't want to be in the same division as Jimmy, as his great friend and mentor. I wonder if Ben Johnson feels that way about Dan Campbell when he doesn't take a job and he comes back because he wants to be winning with Detroit. I wonder if it crosses his mind that he doesn't want to be competing with all the players that he's helped develop on that offense. I don't know that. I think there's a lot to learn about this guy, but this is just one of the different storylines that we'll be getting to. Coach wants that. Will join us next. It is Mully and Haw on the Score.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 seasons.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
He has the greatest mustache you've ever seen.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
Why don't you hang it out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score?
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you
next
very
question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always a delight to have Coach Wannstedt join us here in studio. And we'll talk about the past. We'll talk about the future. We'll get a prediction on the game. Coach, good morning. How are you?
You know, let's go. Short week.
It's
not a whole lot of time to think about
tough
it.
Week. Is that the good news or the bad news?
That's the good news.
Because I guess. But, Dave, they're staring at a six-game losing streak. That's a tough thing to overcome for any coaching staff. You know what they're in the midst of. Let's start with on the field, though. What happened to the Bear defense? Because we began the season thinking this was a top 10, potentially top 5 unit, and the Vikings shredded it. And Sam Darnold in the fourth quarter was 11 for 13 in clutch when he needed to.
Yeah, that's probably the one area that I think all Bears fans were counting on us dominating. You know, I mean, just our defense, if we were going to get turnovers, we were going to get sacks, and the guys worked so hard on, you know, trying to create this pass rush and you know, it's just not happening. I mean, without blitzing, and then the problem is you blitz and you got a couple defensive backs hurt, and, you know, that's everyone that was asking me, I've done a couple things here this week, why aren't we just blitzing like we did last year? Well, in my mind, okay, if you're going to blitz, that means that you're going to be single coverage, right? Common sense. You can't play your zones and keep extra safeties back there if you're going to blitz everybody. Well, now you say, as a coach, you look and say, what's my matchup situation? You know, Jefferson, Addison, TJ Hawkinson, Aaron Jones is good. You know what I mean? Those are high-powered
great
weapons.
Yeah.
Great weapons.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we went into the season, and I'm not making any excuses for anything. I'm just saying this is where we're at. You know, I kind of had I got a little bit nervous when we played the Rams. Even though we won that game, I'll be honest with you. You know, the Rams didn't have Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
They didn't have
Nacua.
Didn't have Puka Nacua. And they kind of moved the ball up and down the field on us.
Yes.
Remember that? And I made the comment on the show here. I says, boy, it was a good win for the Bears, but we were kind of in a bend but don't break mode.
Yeah.
And it's just continued. But
well, they can't stop the run anymore at all.
No.
And I mean, Aaron Jones has been a Bears killer, but he hadn't had 100 yards in a while. I mean, it was just
4.6 yards a carry. You're
that's
right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is it because Billings is out? And I, you know, they're down to their third safety, right? Because Hicks was out with an ankle, and obviously the concussion has slowed down Jaquan Brisker, and I don't know what to make of that. It's been a very long time, and he's on injured reserve.
I know that's scary.
It's scary, but Dave, I mean, is that what's gone wrong? Because it feels like we're talking about it. Like Sweat's got a high pressure rate. He finally got his first sack in a month. You look at the way they've been, they barely pressured Jordan Love.
Right.
You look at the you know, the corner play. Stevenson has fallen off. Tyreek Stevenson is like
he hasn't been the
rumor.
Same since at Washington.
No,
he hasn't been.
He's
a different player.
So what does that mean? We like Terrell Smith, but that's kind of weird that a guy that was an important part of your
secondary
future,
is different.
It
loses a lot of the swagger without Brisker and without Stevenson
and frankly,
playing at that level.
Frankly, the linebackers are not really killing the world or anything.
No.
Now, we blitzed on the one big pass play that they hit on us. They it was a double linebacker blitz, and nobody got free.
Right.
You know, I mean, when you blitz, what we're saying to the offense is, okay, if we don't blitz, you got five guys. If the back stays in, you got six guys to block our four rushers. We got to do a heck of a job. Okay, we get that. Now, when we blitz and we bring six against your six, Mully, we got to win that battle. Someone's got to get off a block and get to the quarterback, and it's just been tough. I mean, I don't know. Is Flus now trying to, you know, go back and forth and juggle it, and how much is there? You know, I was watching during the game. I don't know what you guys thought of this, and it looked like one time when we were on offense, when we had the ball, that Flus was talking on the thing and looking at a script or something. So I don't know if he's doing it. You know, what he should be doing is the head coach's role and giving his okay to play calling. You know, yes, staying on top of the game.
But it looked like he's preparing for the next series on defense.
Well, that's what I don't know.
Didn't it appear that way to you?
Something was going on.
At times, it does appear that way, that he's very preoccupied with the next series on defense, which gives you, as an offensive coordinator, total autonomy, which is fine if you have a guy that's not doing it for the second time this year.
Right.
So I think that you wonder about the next step. Is he going to have to – and I don't know to this degree – to at this point how much it matters. But his ability to multitask is fair to question.
Yeah, exactly. When we come back, I want to touch on something, because the reason that we said just – how we judge quarterbacks, at least I do, I think you guys agree, and the reason we didn't feel it would work with Justin Fields is because at the end of the game, when you're behind or tied, what can your quarterback do? The fourth quarter of the Bears game, touchdown, field goal.
Unbelievable.
So we got to that is some positive stuff here to talk about.
Yeah, we'll get into that next. It is Mully and Haw. We've got Coach Wonstedt with us on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.